Okay, good morning. Today is the 5th of Tammuz, the 18th of June. We're happy to hear better news about Jonathan Stieglitz, Jonas and David Ben Itarachel should continue to a full refuah shleim, which Be'ezus Hashem we anticipate. Just came from the Bris, and today's shir should be dedicated to his refuah shleim of Mehera. Just came from the Bris of Daniel Yeshaya Halevi Dworkin. He should bring nachas and joy to his parents and to all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, just a note, I won't be here next week. So next Monday, no shir. So let's make a count. Okay. So we were on page Ayin Tes. We had a section about the responsibility of a Rebbe to give cover to his Talmud. We'll just finish that up. Again, the Rav Kestenbaum speaks from different perspectives, and even though we may not be in one particular angle or another, it's instructive to learn from all of them. So, Tavav Ayin Tes. Uvadai afsh ikar achrayis al rav lazo l'talmido bedvarim ruchniyim. And certainly, even though the main obligation of a Rebbe is to help his student with spiritual matters, mikol makom gam kein al rav lidog l'dvarim hagashmiyim shelo. The Rebbe also has to worry about physical matters of his. I always remember, I have recordings of Aaron Cutler's Levaya from December of 1962. And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky there cited the utterance of Elisha Hanavi when he lost his Rebbe, Eliyahu Hanavi. He said, Ovi, Ovi, Rechav Yisrael Farasha, famous words that you often hear at Levaya's Rachman Son of great people. So, Ovi, Ovi, called him my father twice. Chazal said, it's Ovi and Imi. That he was his father and his mother in the stereotype teaching in Sefer Mishlei and elsewhere. The father wants the son to study Torah and teaches him Dvarim Ruchniyim, and the mother worries about his physical well-being to support that. So Eliyahu Navi was Avi and Imi, and Rabbi Yaakov was talking about how Rav Aaron Cutler was that to his Talmidim. It's actually a fascinating biography. It's not a biography, it's different biographical accounts. And you can read about how when Rav Aaron wasn't in the yeshiva, boys slept in his bed. His office was open, and whoever wanted slept in his bed. The yeshiva's apartment was a fully open place. So the Rebbe is also supposed to worry about the physical well-being. It's obvious that if the Rebbe really worries about the student, how would he not worry about all of his matters? Very true in our time. Therefore, the Rebbe has to analyze, has to research all matters of his student. Does he have everything he needs? Does he have everything he needs at home? To ask every student about his family situation. The truth is, this isn't really even, it's not for the physical well-being, it's for his spiritual well-being. You can't really understand somebody if you don't understand his whole situation. He's not going to grow in spiritual matters if he's not taken care of elsewhere. If the student is missing something physical, this will certainly disturb his success in Ruchnius. We have a story about Rav Shimon Shkup recorded in numerous Svarim. This was a different time and a different caliber of person, but we can always strive. Rav Shimon Shkup was, I think, 12 years old when he was in Volozhin. He was one of the younger students there, and he was crying in the Beis Medrash. And the Tziv walked by. The Tziv was a Rosh Shiva, and the Tziv asked him, what's the matter? And he said, I'm learning this Rashbam and Baba Basra and Daf of Tess, and I don't understand it. And the Tziv said, you're upset you don't understand that? I didn't understand it either. I went and I davened at the kever of Reb Chaim Volozhin, that I should understand it, and Hashem helped me that I understood it. But the way the story is recorded, the truth was that Shimon was crying because he didn't have shoes. He wasn't going to tell Rosh Hashiva that he was working on something he didn't understand. But people study Torah with very significant lackings. But often, if that's the case, they are not able to fully learn. Those were times when you had the most driven and the strongest where the people came to yeshiva. Today, Baruch Hashem, it's everybody, we hope, gets a Torah education, so you have to really know what's doing with a person to be able to help him. There are students who don't succeed in Avodas Hashem, and everything would turn around if the Rebbe would ask them if something is disturbing them. pretty much aleph of chinuch nowadays. Tafkid harav eino rak lilmod chachma el livnos. I think the word should be lalamed. Tafkid harav eino rak lalamed chachma el livnos anoshim. The role of a rebbe is not just to teach wisdom, but to build people. Lahashrish b'talmidav kol hakelim shem tzrichim lahatzlocha. To inculcate in his students all of the equipment, all of the faculties they need for success, which includes many different things. Elsewhere he quotes, maybe we had it last time, he quotes Rabbi Kalish, who said that that's pshat, ha'amidu talmidim harbei. The first real directive in Pirkei Avos is ha'amidu talmidim harbei. To be ma'amid, someone means to get him standing. It doesn't say be malamed talmidim harbei, it says be ma'amid, get him on his feet, which means develop, you know, help him cultivate what he needs for success. Love and Milos Vanasionis the Shayesh the Kol Talmud B'Talmud to understand the, on the one hand, the Milos, the benefits, the advantages, the talents, and also the Nisyonis, the unique challenges that each student has. Ulisayo Vashlomas Atzmo, and to help him in the completion of himself. Lodiel Kol Talmud B'Talmud Chashivus of Ayacholishla, to inform each Talmud of his importance and his unique capability. Umunach besoch kol tochochos harav hagashazu, and he means this is the way it's supposed to be. Within all constructive criticism of a rebbe, there has to be a latent, or more than latent, this concept. Talmud nechkar biyakar molei kochos ata, that you are a dear Talmud, full of capabilities. Mitzdarani she'adam choshev kamoscha einu mamala hayecholo shelo. It pains me that somebody important and great like you is not fulfilling, or not actualizing his potential. And with this we will merit to build full people and righteous people in Klal Yisrael.
I was at the Poland's graduation last week, and I saw that Mrs. Katz tries to do that with her girls, and it was really beautiful. She gave them all brachas, and she talked about the good boy. It was very beautiful.
There's a live example. Very
That's
good.
What you did. I remember last year at the graduation, you spoke to every boy so beautifully.
I did it better this year. But just wait, where's the Olam HaGaiva? No, it's important. It's very important. It's very important to. There was a time when Yidden were so strong that the big risk was that they would think too much of themselves. Wow. And there was a Musar that really addressed that. And when we read that Musar today, we really don't relate to it, because I believe for the most part, most people succeed from being built up. They don't need to be beaten back into their place. That doesn't mean we don't have gaiva as a challenge, but I think a lot of the gaiva that you see today really comes from low self-esteem. I need to show you how great I am because I'm not so secure in who I am in the first place. I think when people overall were great, some of what the Musar movement was addressing were people who really were too great. And they were great and they were aware of it. Now there's a lot of low self-esteem. With all the conveniences and all the good things we have, people themselves are a lot of times feel beaten down. So to build people up, you have to let them know their own greatness. And that's Olam HaKavod in terms of giving kavod to others. Now the next section, as I mentioned last time, is really written for men. But as we said in the last year when somebody asked a question, there's transparency here. There's no secret. It's not like we give the Rebbe a secret approach, and if the Talmud would know that's what the Rebbe is doing, it wouldn't work. Really, it's all transparent. We just each have to work from our angle. So a lot of what he's going to say to the men could be said to women, and I think it's good that you have a sefer that has what's being said to the Rebbe, what's being said to the Talmud, what's being said to the husband, to the wife, because it we learn from all of it, and a lot of times what's relevant here, you can make the Zera Shav is relevant there. So I think it's worth reading this section, but please don't use it. Anyway, Yachas Shevein Ish L'Ishto. Yachas Shevein Ish L'Ishto, the relationship between a husband and wife. Kosav HaRambam, the Rambam writes, V'chein Tzivu Chachamim Shei Adam Machabes Ishto Yeser Migufo. V'Oava Kigufu. The Rambam Hilchos Ishus writes that our Chachamim have commanded a man should honor his wife. Literally means more than his body or his self, but it basically means more than himself, and love her like himself. If he has money, he should bestow good upon her per his wealth. He shouldn't cast upon her an excessive fear. Certainly in the world centuries ago, the notion that the Baal was the one in charge, and it was not a parallel relationship, and Chazal were opposed to overdoing it, and oh, and I'm the boss, etc. V'yidiburo ima benachas, his speech with her should be with nachas, softly, v'lo yeotze v'lo rogas. He shouldn't be depressed, he shouldn't be angry. They also command that the woman should honor her husband beyond. Yes, midai means like more than enough. She should have awe of him. She should do everything based on what he says. She should view him as an officer or a king. He should go per what he wants. And she should try to keep away anything that he doesn't like. And this is the way of Benos Yisrael and Bnei Yisrael, who are holy and pure in their relationships. And in this way, their dwelling will be pleasant and praiseworthy. Each side is trying to outdo the other in praise and
that's all from the Rambam.
That's Abkan Lashono, end quote. That's okay. A quote from the Rambam. Yes.
When Shmuel was growing up, when the Tata came home, he was a cutter of cloth. When he came home from the Arbit, they all stood up and said, the Melech has arrived.
Very nice. It's very nice. Yeah. It's said over that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's Levaya, he said that usually we're supposed to ask Mechila. But the truth is, I had nothing to ask Machila for. We lived a life together, and if you know Shlomo Zalman Orbach's character, the character between the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin was such that he didn't have what to ask for. V'davar Nora Roim Khan, we see an awesome thing here, top of page Pei. Sh'afsha Baal Hu Melech Abayas Hu Yoshev Rosh Hashulchan V'chadoma, that even though the husband is the king of the house and he sits at the head of the table and the like. If you go to an antique shop, there's only one armchair. I noticed this once. I don't want to get into it. Yeah.
It's funny.
I'm not trying to get non-PC, but we once looked at it. We didn't buy it. Dini wanted it. I didn't. See, everything. If people would follow Chazal, then you don't need progressive. The notion of Eved that exists in the Torah. If that were the obvious in the world, slavery wouldn't have become such an abusive and horrible institution. We live in a world where things go too far one way, and then there's a pushback the other way, and everything becomes confused. If the relationship between man and woman would be the way Chazal devised it, it would never have needed to swing this way and that way, and then you have a cycle of bizarre styles in the world, style of existing, because the pendulum swings back and forth, and it never is in the right spot. But Chazal wanted that both sides should be extremely machabed of one another. So says the author here, even though the husband sits at the head of the table, Mikom Malkum Kod Ishto Tzarech Li Yaseh Yoseh Choshev Etzlo Mikod Atzma. Still, the honor of his wife has to be more important than his own. That's what it says in Chazal. That's the Ram we just read. V'lemashal Me'echad Mehem Tzarech Lasos Davar Shal Bizayon. If one of them has to do a degrading thing, take out the garbage. Habal Tzarech Lasos Kein V'lo Ishto. So the husband has to do it, not his wife. There's a story people tell over an account from Rav Moshe Feinstein, I think is often misunderstood. But Rav Moshe was the Gadol Hador, and his learning was precious and protected, and his Rebbetzin was unbelievably committed to supporting that. There was one instance, I don't know what the circumstances were, the kids were sick or something, and she asked if he would hold one of the children when she cleaned the floor. Like she was overwhelmed, which you can imagine. What he says is, once I'm not learning, I'll clean the floor. In other words, the only reason I'm over there is because I'm learning Torah, but if I'm not, then why should you clean the floor? I'll clean the floor. People say it over, I think they missed the point, but that's what he was saying, which is this point. and he has to protest for the honor of his wife. Even if it would be something that for himself he'd let it go, but for her honor he should stand up. How much more so that he should be careful not to denigrate her honor. There are people who insult, to be pogam is like to taint the dignity or the honor of their wives in front of others by way of a joke. It's a joke, just kidding. There's a pasuk in Mishlei about I was just kidding. A guy who shoots arrows and says I was just kidding. But dangerous. V'zeh avera chamura. Yeah. Halom masachek ani. Help me pull it up here. Yesh. I can't get it right now. But the end of the pasuk is halom masachek ani. I was just joking.
Yeah.
V'zeh avera chamura. And that's a serious avera. V'kol shekeinu b'fnei horea. Osharko, how much more so in front of her parents or other relatives. If he does it in front of her parents, he's going to get her with a head too. So I wouldn't recommend that one. Anyway, Ela Adarav, Tzrichim L'Shabeach, Osab Ifneachim, has to praise her in front of others, and Moshu Chesaron B'Tznias, unless it has to be done in a way that's Tzanua. The Kol Shekeinu B'Fnei Kroveh, Shazel Chizuk Gadol, and certainly in front of her relatives, which is a big Chizuk. V'da She'ein Achiyu Shal Abal, Ishtu Toli B'Chiyu Shal Ishtu Abal. This is a very important thing. You should know that the obligation of a husband to his wife is not dependent on her obligation to him. In other words, some people think, well, if you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. And that's how they're in all their relationships, and it could even be in their spousal relationship. And shnei chiyuvim nefradim. They're two distinct obligations. V'hainu shekol bal tzarach linog ba'ava v'kavod v'mishto. Every husband has to conduct himself with love and honor toward his wife. Afilum hi einu noheges imo ba'ava v'kavod. Even if she doesn't do the same, and the same is true in the opposite direction. This is the foundation for maintaining nisuin marriage. This is a very interesting application of a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. We tend to read this Mishnah. The Mishnah says any love that's dependent on something, so if that something goes away, the love goes away. It's not a true love. Any love that's independent of anything, so then the love is lasting. If it's not dependent on something, so it lasts forever. So what Rav Kestenbaum is pointing out is the same can be true if love is dependent on the way you treat me, if the way I treat others is dependent on the way they treat me, that's also called tliya b'davar. So that's what the Mishnah means. In other words, one's commitment, you could say it from either side, a spouse's commitment has to be independent of the way the person is being treated. This is the purpose, the function of nisuin, that a person should fix his midos. His whole goal should be, we use the term bechina to mean like a realm, a category. I don't know when it became used this way. More modern yeshiva usage, you don't find it in old Svarim, but a bechina of something means
like, test, like, isn't it?
Yeah, but here it means like a realm.
Interesting.
It's something you can discern. Really, to be bochim means to discern, a discernment of a certain concept. So he should be in the bechina of a nosai, not a makabel. You know, we categorize things. You look at a situation, and you can't. I know we had a recent speaker in our shul. I noticed that every talk he gave, he categorized something into two possibilities and showed how you can pretty much put things into one box or the other. That's what a lot of alumnus is. You look at something, it just looks like a lot of information, but really, if you think about it, there's two strands going on here. Is it this or is it that? So, in a relationship, a person can ask, am I a giver or a taker? So, a person in a relationship is supposed to think about, I should be the giver. I'm the one who's looking out to provide. Both sides are looking to give, then it ends up being a very happy relationship. If even when he's giving, it's because he expects something back, that's not called giving, that's taking. Right? The things in life where people are being benevolent, but it's with the expectation of something else, that's not really being benevolent, that's taking. V'darazehu asiba la'kilkul shel shalom bayis shenimtza b'dareinu rachman l'tzlan. This is a cause for the corruption or the ruin of shalom bayis in our time, God forbid. Shekolachin ma'bota rakal atzma. Because each one, their gaze, their look is really about him or herself. It's a selfish world, it's a me world. It's fascinating. You read the way even some people write about religion, it's like, what's meaningful to you? Right? The Western world, even like, religion is like yoga, it makes me feel good. Everything is, what's in it for me. Even when they think they're doing something that's supposed to be outward, it's really inward. It's really self-focused. Mesilas Yesharim starts with the words, what's chovas ha'odom ba'olam, what's man's obligation in life? Mesilas Yesharim doesn't say, what would you find meaningful? You know, how can I make Judaism speak to me? So the same thing in relationships. It's not people's whole mindset can be wrong. So you have to ask a question, nosein or makabel? Giver or receiver? What am I? That alone is a Torah shlema. V'inyin shel shalom bayis sugya arucha ma'od. The concept of shalom bayis is a long and complex sugya. Sugya is a topic in Gemara. There's some sugyas you can spend weeks on. You have to study different things and different concepts. It's a big sugya. V'kan rak mevarim yisoda shenogin l'inyin shel kavod. Here we're only... See, there's a challenge in this sefer, which in any great sefer, is that things are interconnected. We're talking about kavod within shalom bayis, which ties into everything else. So there's overlap. I always find it interesting that there's some sfarim that grappled with this. When you read a Minchas Chinuch, he always starts something and he says, but if I'll continue, I'll already be in violation of the style of the Sefer, so I have to stop. Sometimes you start one thing, you segue to another, but really it's all interconnected. But for organizational purposes, he's going to talk about the things that we're in the Olam HaKavod, we'll talk about Kavod. So we're talking about those topics. Kvar Be'anul El, we already explained above, HaKesher Bein Ava LaKavod, the connection between love, or like, by the way, in Hebrew, ohev means to like or to love, and kavod. Right? We said you greet somebody warmly, that's considered respectful. To fail to show friendship is considered disrespectful. That was the point he made before. So, greeting somebody warmly is ava, I'm happy to see you. Kavod is honor, is dignity, but we see that they go together. If you don't greet someone with a smile, it's disrespectful. So Av and Kavod go together. Shem Adam Agashu Ov, person feels that he is beloved, Nischazak HaChashiv, so his importance becomes strengthened. V'kol Shekein B'nogei Ish V'ishto, how much more so with regard to husband and wife, Shekol Tshukas Isha Limtso Chein B'enei Bala, a woman's yearning is to find favor in her husband's eyes, Kemo Shekazav HaChazonish B'machtovo, as the Chazonish writes in a letter of his, Ubo Modedes Chashivusa, and where she measures her importance. Spoke about this early on in the Sefer, but the spousal relationship is much of our world, so if one doesn't feel respected within that, it's a very gloomy world. Therefore, a husband has to show his love to his wife strongly, constantly, whether with words or with actions. And he has to do it wisely to show Ava in a true fashion. This is always the risk when you teach something, when something is learned from a book, that then a person can do it with book knowledge and not with real life acumen and smarts. It shouldn't be forced, it shouldn't be patronizing, etc. Visa Begemara. There's a story in the Gemara that's hard to read. Rebchia have a kamatzar le devisir. Rebchia, his wife used to bother him. He had a difficult wife. Ki have a mishkach midi, tayale besudre maisin yala. But when he found something, he would wrap it up in a kerchief and bring it to her. Amar le Rav, Rav's nephew, hakamatzar le lamar. She's difficult for you. She pains you. Amar le dayenu shemagadlos banenu matzilos asunim and achait. It's enough. Raise her children and save us from sins. And she's doing enough for me, even though she happened to have been a difficult person. But he had Akar Satov, and he did not predicate his actions toward her on her actions toward him. We see the greatness here. Everywhere he went, he's looking, what can I bring home? What would she like? Which means his mind was always on her. It's worth more than all the presents. Right? He people realize the thoughtfulness, the thought that counts. I mean, it's true. These things can be applied to other relationships and other areas too, but they're things that show forethought. You can spend a lot of money, but it's a one-time thing, or you can show that you're always thoughtful. It's a very different thing. And that's what we see from Rabbi Chiya. When he would find something, he would wrap it up and bring it to her. And a person has to dedicate from his time to be with his wife. Well, what we say at this table stays at this table. All right, Dini's not. Anyway, I'll try. I'm trying. This is really just for myself. You're over here. Like we said with regard to one's son, which is giving people time, is especially if you're busy, is the greatest thing. It shows importance. Chabetz Chaim used to say, Kriegen Geld kost Zeit. Like, should I make money? No, because making money costs time. Because to him, time is much more valuable than money, which is the way we should think about it. So being willing to give your time to somebody, especially if you value time, shows something important. There are people who think that they're good husbands. Because every Friday they buy flowers for their wives. And every day they call from their workplace at a certain 10 a.m. calls to see how his wife's doing, and the like. Those could be very good things. He just means if it's mitzvah sanoshim alumoda, if it's, you know, this is just my Rebbe said to do this, so I do it, so it's checking a box, then it's not the right thing. V'day yisod gadol, you should know a big foundational principle. Shadavar shenesa kiseder be'emes enu mara ava kol kach. Something that's done regularly doesn't show so much love. I mean, you can make a contrary argument that if a person has something that is a chok v'lo yavar, that even an instance of great challenge, he won't violate it, that does show sacrifice and commitment. But I think what the author means is more, if it's something that's just kind of regular, it doesn't take much sacrifice, so it doesn't show much thought.
More habit.
Yeah, it's a habit. This is what I do. A lot of things in life, why do we do something? Because I did it yesterday. You ever think about it? Most of the things we do, why do I do it? Because I did it yesterday. I woke up in the morning and thought, okay, who am I? I believe in that, you know. Like, so things that you just did because you did yesterday don't show that much thought. Bishlam upon Rishon, Shainas, Ushlishis. Bishlam means like granted or it is good. The first, second, and third time. It's his chazakah. He is doing it because he did it yesterday. If he doesn't do it, it looks like he's insulting her. Now that it's become necessary, it doesn't show love. Anything that a person does because they have to doesn't really show thoughtfulness. Ve'od, furthermore, davar shenesek seder einu nesa im torach ha-machshava. Something that's done regularly is not done with the effort of thought. Ve'hargoshas ha-lev, and the feeling of the heart. Ela adam rak makayim chiyuvi hayom. He's obligating his day's obligations, checking boxes. Mitzvah sanashim elumada uses the phrase that I used before. That's a phrase from Navi. The word lamud doesn't really mean learn. It means habit. When we talk about limud, really means training. So mitzvah sanashim elumada is a term used in criticism of Klal Yisrael. It's where you do mitzvahs just out of habit. That's what you're used to doing. Avol mipam lepam gam kona prachim be'emtza shavua. If occasionally I'll buy flowers in the middle of the week, or meskasha be'emtza yom, or he calls them a different hour, lishal al shloma alopol davar gadol. Then he's doing a great thing. Vizeh aklal, this is the general rule. Shitzarach letroach v'lachsho v'lachadish dvarim laharo skibas ishto. He has to bother and think and innovate things. V'lo ye'atlan b'davar zeh. Shouldn't be lazy. This has so many applications in so many areas of life. But again, anything that's just rote, that doesn't require thoughtfulness and chiddush, doesn't show so much. If you think about it, one of the big challenges in life is on the one hand, we want to establish a regimen. It makes things easier when things become established and set. And to some degree, Chazal extolled the virtue of Seder, of doing things in order and a schedule. On the other hand, you know, today in the vernacular today, going out of your comfort zone. On the other hand, to really show that you're working hard for something or someone, or be it a spade anybody, you have to be willing to go beyond that. You have to really think about, how do I do this better? To do something out of the ordinary. For that, he'll see reward in this world and in the next.
Things that you have to be aware all the time, and it's sort of a balance, but it's not even a balance. It's sort of like being aware all the time, like being alive all the time.
Right.
Sort of not being on automatic pilot.
Right, right. And to some degrees, we like to get to that place of comfort where it was hard to get things established, but now I have a regimen. And to some degree, habits are good, but it doesn't show thoughtfulness. And in areas of life, you need to be
thoughtful. So davening is really important.
Yeah, davening is the big challenge with this because it's the same words every day. That Chazal already talk about the great challenge of being mechadish something in davening. How do you have bestow fresh feelings into the same ancient, holy, but repeated words? That's the big challenge of davening. I always mention Rav Hirsch says the word pilel, the his palel, to daven is related to the word bolal, pei lamed lamed, and beis lamed lamed are related. Consonants that come from the same part of the mouth, the Sefer Yetzirah teaches us, are related. Bolal means to mix. Polal means to daven. He says davening is the act of mixing. Since Hashem is so lofty, we have to approach him with ceremony. Ceremony means a standard text. You know, I don't just come there and say, there are places where you can do your private tefillah, but basically the highest level of davening is a preordained ritual. There's a ceremony, Shevach, Bakasha, Hodah, there's a structure to Shemona Esrei, and so on, and use the words from the Nevi'im. And you don't innovate, really. On the other hand, it's supposed to be Avodah Shebelev. It's supposed to be very alive and very personal. So as refers to tefillah is polal, is bol. It's mixing those two very disparate things. Set ceremony with very current and personal feelings. He says that on the Pasuk, Ra'ofa necha lo filalti. And Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, to see your face, I hadn't prayed, and behold, Hashem has shown me even your children when they were reunited. The inyan shel nesinas kavod mamish l'ishto yesh l'chalak b'shnei chalakim. The concept of giving real kavod to his wife can be divided into two categories, two sections. Harishon beglal she isha tova lo. One because it's a little confusing in Hebrew. In some languages, the word for wife and the word for woman are the same, right? Not in English, but in Yiddish, right? Vibe, viber. So wife, same thing in Lashon HaKodesh. Isha means woman and means wife. So it's a little confusing. Isha Tovah means she's a good wife to him. And the second one has nothing to do with her relationship to him, just because she's an important person, important woman of her own right. So one is personal and one is just because of who you are. With regard to the first category, which is the relationship vis-a-vis him, we would say, she always has to praise her. He always has to praise her for the things that she does for him and their children. And it's incumbent upon him to have gratitude for all the things that she does. Bein davar gadol, bein davar katan, whether big or small. Bein davar she'asa b'fanav, bein davar she'asa shelovav, whether she did it in his presence or not. V'yesh choshvim, some people think, lama la lahakir tova. Why do I have to be grateful? Haloz de davar shehi mechuyeves, that's her job. V'adarav, it's the contrary. Me'ena osa kein, if she doesn't do that, eina memala es ha'achrayes hamutelas aleha. She's not fulfilling her obligation. What do I have to thank her for? It's not something exceptional. That's her job. So he says, Zeutos Gadol. Of course, that's a big mistake. The truth is, everything is like that. One of the great places where we see that is in the Book of Rus, where everything is called Chesed. Everything in Rus is called Chesed. You did this Chesed. And even things that people do, because that's what they're supposed to do, we have to be very grateful for. There was a speaker last night at a dinner in honor of Rabbi Brisman, so Rabbi Green, who was a famous Sheba in Eretz Yisrael for a while, now he's in Phoenix. He had the Sheba Berach HaSatar, Sheba Green, yeah. So he spoke very powerfully about the Chazal, Tehei Tzadik Va'al Tehei Rasha. When a soul comes to the world, it's told to take a Shvua, be a Tzadik, and don't be a Rasha. So he asked the question, he said, in logic, anytime you have two extremes, the affirmation of one means the negation of the middle, and the affirmation of the other means... Basically, if you say you must be a tzaddik, well, let me explain. If you say you have to be a tzaddik, that means you can't be mediocre. Yes. But if you say take a shvu, you won't be a rasha, that means you can be mediocre. He says, how do you understand a shul like that? It almost makes no sense. How do you have it? You tell us all, take a shul. You'll be a, I swear I will be a tzaddik and I will not be a rasha. Well, which one is it? If you say you'll be a tzaddik, you mean only you'll be a tzaddik and not anything less. If you say you won't be a rasha, then that's just, well, then mediocre is okay. And his basic message that was, after the fact, when we emerge from life with all the challenges, maybe there's such a thing as mediocre, but a priori, there is no possibility of mediocre. How could you enter into this world with all of its potential thinking there's any possibility of mediocre? You're either going to be the best you can be, or you're a Russia. There is no middle ground. But the reason I'm mentioning that is just doing what we're supposed to do makes us righteous, makes us great. In any decent relationship, we thank people profusely for things that, yeah, that was expected, but thank you so much for doing it. Right? If you do all the mitzvahs are commands, you're a tzaddik. So a husband or wife are doing what they're supposed to do, of course we should be grateful. Could you imagine a world where you don't say thank you except where somebody did something they weren't obligated to do? They weren't expected to do? It'd be a pretty rude world. And how much do we benefit from things that are expected? Yeah, you can go to the store, you pay money, you get your groceries, but aren't you grateful for the fact that we live in a society that where you can get things from around the world that are kept and made fresh for your convenience? Yeah, somebody is making a dollar from that, but we're still very grateful for it. We know from ourselves, you should always generalize from the way you feel to the way other people feel, we all expect hakaras hatov for things that we're obligated to do. How would I feel if any people had no gratitude for things that I'm expected to do, and only if I did something exceptional? I wouldn't feel too good about myself. He should also praise if she did something. That sentence might not have been completed. I'm not sure. We'll see what he means in a second. Say lamad kala yisoda shekasadna lamal v'nyan kvod acherim. Shabech b'ofen amiti b'ofen prati. So he already spoke about this, but when he spoke about praising people in general, that praise should be true and specific. B'ovei lakan, and apply that here. And he even said over there, it's best if it's undeniable. If I say, you performed very well. Okay, but I just walked by three people who are all oohing and aahing about your performance, about what you did. So that person can't deny. It's a fact. I'm telling you, I heard three people. If it's my own judgment, the person can say, I maybe don't mean it. The dogma, for example, Isha wrote to Ladasha, Ma'achala Motzachain Beine Bala. She wants to know if her food was good. Bear in mind, primarily this sefer was written for yeshiva bachrim, and I think it's a very good thing because it prepares them for a lot of important things. So he gives the following example: was her food good? So if he always says everything was delicious, by what is that worth? Again, this is a specific example. We can apply it to many places. He should say it in a way that she can recognize the truth of his words. The mashal ma'asas shnei minei machal. She made two types of food. Al echad yachal lomar shu tov ma'od. Al sheni yomar shu b'myucha tayim. This is good. This is especially good.
Cool.
I like the use of the cinnamon and the just had the right amount of cumin. I don't know. Be specific. Ukvar kasavnu shah shevach ha'mu'ula hainu shevach she'ev shalichba. He mentions it here. We already said that the best type of praise is praise that can't be denied. He'll ask her to make something, particular food. So what he's asking for. He says, I'm just writing this to alert a person to it. Every person should use his wisdom, his judgment in every matter. Makes kind of a play on words. Anyone who praises more, that is more praiseworthy. Remember, again, he works this through a little bit at length, but I think it's instructive to read. You can leave the sefer open. that by way of this, she knows that she's a good wife for her husband. His obligation is that by way of his actions and his speech, she should know, it should be clear that she's a good wife. She's lacking in what she's supposed to do. It's not sufficient to just cover over his feelings. He thinks, well, I was disappointed. I wanted such and such, and she didn't do it, so I just won't say anything. He says that's insufficient. He really shouldn't feel like he's lacking anything. He should focus on the good and feel good about it. That's, again, going back to that story we read before, what Reb Chiya said to Rav, it's not that he said, yeah, I'm disappointed, but I'm a nice guy anyway. What he said is, I'm very pleased with my lot in life. In other words, he was able to see what he had as good. The fact that he used to bring things home to her wasn't just being maver al midosa, which means really he's upset, but he's covering it. Elamitocha karsatov amitas. He had true gratitude. Ubaze hitzliach laharich es ishto lachabin. That's how he was successful in to be ma'arich, means to give value, erichin, and to honor her. Ubal tzarach lahotzi mamon bad ishto. Benedivus v'lo yekamtsin. Husband has to be has to spend money for his wife benevolently and not to be a kamtsin. Kamtsin is a miser. Comates the fist, right, to hold the hand closed. A kamtsin. It's a famous story about Yassel, the holy miser, Shlomo Kavach used to sing, which really has its origin. It was a real story in Europe. A rabbinate showed me from the Sefer, from the Chofetz Chaim's son-in-law, that there was a person of the author, it's a famous story, the author of it, he was a miser, and people used to come to me and ask for tzedakah. He never gave a penny, nothing. He used to send them away, but then when he was nifter, nobody even wanted to give him a proper burial. And then all of a sudden what started to happen is all of the chesed organizations started to run out of funding. The one used to give clothing no longer had clothing. And basically they all alerted the rabbi what happened, and each one started to say, I don't know, I used to get an envelope under my door that had all the money I needed, and now this one doesn't have it, and that one doesn't have it. And they basically, posthumously, they discovered that he was the... So originally they had buried him and called him, in Karl Bach's version, it's... Yossel, the miser, and then became they carved on Kadosh, the holy miser, because he wasn't really a miser. But that's the truth is we're not even supposed to look like we're not having good midos. But a person should not be a kamtsan, a miser. Gemosh goes to Rambam Hanal, she yarb betovaso kafim mamono. He has to be abundant in doing good for per his money. Ubazem marla she chashuva etzlo, and that's how he shows that she's important to him. Some people have a hard time. Parting with money, I always mention Henach Leibowitz used to tell his father, David Leibowitz, in the early years of the yeshiva Chavetz Chaim, when he basically broke away from Tor V'Das and started his own yeshiva, and there were difficult years. My grandfather was in the yeshiva then, so he once met a very wealthy person he knew on the street, and the yeshiva was in dire straits. And he met him on the street, and the Yitzhak knew Rav David, how are things? He said, the boys have nothing to eat, and we're at risk of clothing, and coming on. And finally the man said, all right, Rav David, nanarais at tenor. He like opened his pocket to take out a 10. Like he couldn't bring himself to actually reach in his pocket and take it out himself. Couldn't part with his money. So sometimes people are like that. Vafilo meilo, even if he doesn't have... He has to at least show that he would like to. He wishes he could, as Rabbi Akiva said before he became wealthy. If I had, I would give you a Jerusalem of gold. The truth at the end he was able to, as we see elsewhere in Shas. His eating and drinking should be, we would say today, beneath his level of wealth, living beneath his means. The yilbush v'yischasav amashiyeshlo, he should dress according to his means. V'yachabed ishtu abonav yosar amashiyeshlo, he should honor his wife and his children above his means. Shehein tluyin bov, who told toliv misham v'hayolam. They're relying on him, and he relies on the one who said and created the world. V'shamati mimori v'rabi ha'rav agon, Rabbi Chil Per Shlita, Rav Per is the Rosh Hashiva of the Yeshiva for Rockaway, one of the great Chacham Bar Time. He was a close Talmud of Rav Aaron Cutler.
Name?
Rabbi Chil Per.
Okay.
He has a lot really to share with the world about Rav Aaron Cutler. real Talmud of his. Sherov, so he said, Sherov katatos ben ishto ishto boim machmas and yanimam. I think this has been confirmed in the greater world too. That most of the fights come over monetary matters. So he has to, a vatran means somebody who lets things go. Kamtzen is somebody who can't part with anything. So a person has to learn to be a vatran and not a kamtzen. There's a story with the Brisker Rav that I think he was making a bar mitzvah or something, and the caterer was charging him a lot. I forgot the details of the story, but the punchline, the saying that the Brisker Rav said was, Tzolan Dachman Saivi, Gelt is the billigste price. We're going to have to pay one way or other. Money is the cheapest price. The people are so tight with the money and end up paying in aggravation and grievances and so on. Money, I mean, obviously money is not easy to come by. A person's supposed to be responsible. But sometimes people would be much better off being a little more giving with the money, that they would suffer a lot less. They end up paying more dearly in other ways. Rahman al-Islam, the worst case is people fight over money. It causes feuds and things that last for a very long time. But gelt is the billigste price. Money is the cheapest price. That's all the first category, the relationship between the spouses. V'achelik hasheni, we're almost out of time, I'll just begin it. V'achelik hasheni, melvad ma shetzricha isha lahagashi isha tova labal, gam alel lahagashi isha tova v'chashuva mitzad atzma. Aside from what she is to him, she has to feel like she's an important person unto herself. V'haskamas bala ma'od ma'od choshev etzla. There are people who are so intense in their relationships that even praise has to be vis-a-vis me. A spouse is a person unto himself or herself also. V'alkein mutalov l'shabeach ma'aloseis, to praise her ma'alos, l'chazak atov sh'osa bein ba'advarim, sh'bein adam la'amokom, bein ba'advarim sh'bein adam la'chavero, then as between man and man, between man and God. V'zev v'adeh nichol b'divrei rabbah v'anah l'chab b'yosr megufa. That's part of being honoring her. It doesn't only just mean things you give, it means the way you speak. She feels like in her husband's eyes she's a witch. She can't feel a sense of dignity. Gemara uses an interesting expression. Gemara talks about different scenarios where there was a misimpression in a marriage. So if he gave the impression that he had one level of yichus, what kind of prominence does he come from? So you would think if he's even more prominent, so even better, she'd be happier. Right? He gave the impression that he's not such a yachson, it doesn't come from such great genealogy, such great lineage. And in fact, he's a nobleman. He's great. He's from a very prominent, I don't know, family or lineage. So you'd think that that's even better. But the truth is not. The Gemara says it's no good. And the Gemara uses an expression because she will say, a shoe that's bigger than my foot, I don't want. So in other words, Rashi, I think there, says she'll feel like, he's always saying you have to live up to me. You know, there are famous cases like that where a person feels like they're second rate. And that's why it's no good. Even though on the one hand you might think, well, she should be happier. She got a better husband than she thought, but. That's not what she wants. Ayin sham shalachein in a rotz at least a misha yoser miyuchas mena. She doesn't want to marry somebody who's more miyuchas than she. Shayisha rotz alios chashuva b'ainei ba'ala. Woman wants to be important in her husband's eyes. Veloshi yirak darachitzoni alachayv liros asub ayin tovit. Again, it's not a superficial thing. He has to think that way. Most relationships and interactions with people, it's got to be sincere. I don't have to work just on what I say. I have to work on what I think. If we think properly about people, we'll talk properly to people. Those famous words of the Ramban in his letter, every person should be greater than you in your eyes. Just reading a little bit on Shabbos about Rav Naftali Amsterdam, there are people who are like famous anavim, great, great, humble people, because they just saw the world as, wow, that's fascinating. That person does that so much better than I ever would. And it's true. It's not, you know, I'm a genius and that person isn't, look how he struggles with the, I don't mean that I am, but the great Bali Musar were. So how were they so impressed with regular people? Because look how that person struggles with something I've never struggled with. There's what to learn from everybody. So we don't know anybody else's nisyanos, even people close to us. If this husband or the wife, they struggle with something, and aren't as great as that, but they don't, I don't have that challenge. So there's always what to learn. Therefore, every person can be viewed as being greater than us, and if we see people in that light, especially those closest to us, we'll act and give kavod properly and accordingly. Okay.